We are starting at Samach Vav Amabed, sort of toward the middle. Just to review what we're up to, we had this case that started at the bottom of Samach Vav Amud Aleph. Hamachneset Shum LeBa'ala, he omeret Kelai Ani Notelet, v'hu omeret Amim Ani Noten. She brings in this money. Okay, this is the Nichse Tom Barzel, which she gets at the value at the beginning of the marriage when she came into the relationship. She brings in this money, and she gets them out exactly as they are. Now, she, in the end, she decides, I want the object. And again, she'll pay the difference, or she'll, if it went up in value, then she'll give the extra to her husband. If it went down in value, the husband will give her the object plus a little extra money to get up to that amount. But basically, she wants the actual object. Is she allowed to get it, or does it really belong to him, the object? And therefore, he can do with it what he wants. And he says, no, I'm giving you the money for it, but I'm not giving you the object. So we had a machloket. Rabbi Yehuda said, Hadin ima, she gets to take the object. And Rabbi Ami said, Hadin imo. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda says, Hadin ima, because of Shevach Beit Avia. We assume that she came in with this, and this is her family's heirloom or whatever it is. It's her family's property, and she came in as, she brought it in as, these are my own things and my family's, and they are there to respect her family, and therefore she gets to take them with her. And Rabbi Ami says, no, Hadini Mo, because all the responsibility goes to him, right? And therefore, they basically become his. Okay? And the Rav Sarva said, what do you mean? It doesn't say Hein Shelo, it says they're Chayav Bachrayut. That's why, remember the whole thing in our Mishnah was, because he's responsible for those Nechasim, therefore the Avadim get to eat Truma with him. Right? So now, then we've made a distinction between, they said, what do you mean then? Is it because of the Achrayut? And as Rav Safra is saying, it's because of the Achrayut. It's not because they really belong to him. And then we said, what do you mean it's because of the Achrayut? We have this case in Tzchirut, where you have Achrayut, but it doesn't, just because you have Achrayut doesn't mean you can feed them Truma, right? If you rent a para from a Kohen. So that eats Truma because it belongs to the Kohen, not you. And if you rent a para, you're a Kohen, and you rent it from someone else. So again, the animal doesn't eat Truma because of you. So here you see, responsibility doesn't incur truma eating. But then they said no, because the responsibility when it comes to the Nichsei Tzom Barzel is different from the responsibility that comes from the from Schirut. That from Schirut, you're only chayav b'gneiva v'aveda. But when it comes to Nichsei Tzom Barzel, you're responsible if it goes up in value, it goes down in value, you're responsible for everything. And therefore, that is more responsibility than the Schirut case, and therefore that does give you rights to truma. So it is the responsibility, in which case it's not the it's not that they belong to him, it's really because of the responsibility. Okay. Now we're gonna start from Yativ Rabba Rav Yosef Bashilhe Pirkei de Rav Nachman. Okay? So Yativ Rabba Rav Yosef Bashilhe Pirkei de Rav Nachman, they were sitting at the end, okay? Rashi says, "Kishasiyem et hadrasa." They're sitting at the end of the shir of Rav Nachman, the Yatev Amre, and they say, "Tanya kavatei Rav Yehuda, but Tanya kavatei Rabbi Ami." Okay, there's going to be a brayta to support Rav Yehuda, who says they belong to her, and there's a brayta to support Rabbi Ami that they belong to him. Okay, that he can take them with, that he can say, "I want to keep them, and I'll just give you the money." Tanya kavatei de Rabbi Ami. Okay, again, that they belong to him. That he can say, "I'm not giving you the object. I'm just giving you the money." Why? Okay, here's the brayta. Avdei tzom barzel yotzim b'shem v'ayin la'ish. Okay, here you have to know basic halachas of avadim. If you knock out a tooth of your eved, he goes free. You break an arm, or you blind him, he goes free. Okay,
no, breaking an arm is even those days more temporary than the other ones.
Breaking an arm is more temperate, right? Right, it's true. Right here it says shame v'ayim, but I think it's any kind of breaking. Right, a tooth. Right, I guess a tooth they couldn't replace. Right, it's a good question. I wonder if it's just shame v'ayim. I thought it was also breaking an arm. Right, an arm might not heal properly. Right, that's true. It's true.
Right,
I think it's any kind of breaking something. So he basically gets set free. Okay, it was a way, obviously, of protecting slaves from people beating them, okay? Be careful when you beat them, because if you beat them too hard, they'll go free. So now, he goes free if the husband does it, okay? Avalo li'isha. So what do you see? That he doesn't go free if the woman beats him up, okay? If she blinds him, he doesn't go free because, right? If some guy on the street beat up your eved, does your eved go free? No. So the wife doesn't free him either if she beats him up. Now, what do you see here? That it belongs to the husband and not the wife, even though it's her nichsei tzon barzel. Okay? She's no different than a stranger on the street, according to them. Tanya kavate, so that supports Rabbi Ami, that these things actually belong to him. Tanya kavate to Rav Yehuda, that she gets to walk out with it. Why? Hamachneset shum lebaala, im ratza habaal limkor, lo yimkor. Okay, if she brings something into the marriage, and he wants to sell the nichsei tzon barzel, he wants to sell it, he's not allowed to. What do you see here? That he doesn't own it, because he can't sell it. And this object has to stay in the house. If he even wrote down in the thing, I'm giving you the value of this item, okay? There's a whole discussion what this means. In other words, what kind of situation does it mean? He puts nichsei tzon barzel in her name. Like, what does that mean? Okay, we're not going to get into it. There's all different options. Im ratza habaal limkor, lo yimkor. Okay, if he wants to sell it, he can't, right? So even if he brings it in himself, gives it to her as nichsei tzon barzel, he can't sell it. Machrush nehem leparnasa, if machrush nehem leparnasa, or either one of them, it doesn't mean both of them together, it means if either one of them took these nichasim that he gave her as nichsei tzon barzel, and they sold it for parnasa, basically it doesn't mean if they sold it for parnasa, it means if they sold it, and chances are if they're selling it, it's because they needed the money. Okay, here was the case. And as if they did this, we're going to tell you now. This was a case before Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. V'amar habal motzi miyad alekuchot. He can take it back from wherever they sold it to. In other words, it wasn't a good sale. Here you're seeing that neither of them have full ownership over it. Okay? And certainly he doesn't have enough ownership to sell it, and therefore they can take it back from whoever they sold it to and say this wasn't a good sale. But, right? If you come and take one of my things and you sell it to someone, so that was mine, you couldn't sell my object. So here we see with the nichsei tzon barzel, it doesn't really belong to either of them enough that they can sell it. Okay, so now what do you see? Again, this shows that we hold that it belongs to her, right? If he doesn't have the rights, she can take it when she leaves because he doesn't have rights, full rights to this object. It really still is in her hands. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman. Now we're going to try to figure out who's the halacha like. So Rava says in the name of Rav Nachman, halacha ke Rav Yehuda. Okay, that she gets to take them with her. Amar le Rava le Rav Nachman. Okay, so Rava says this in the name of Rav Nachman. And then he says to Rav Nachman, wait. V'hatani kavatei de Rabbi Ami. Isn't there a braita that supports Rabbi Ami? Okay, now it's a little strange. Why does he say this? Because this also a braita that supports the other side. Okay, but he says, I don't understand. If there's a braita that supports Rabbi Ami, how could you say this? Now, some people say, why? What's the issue here? It's not so much that he wanted to paskin like Rabbi Ami, but again, what's our klal always? Hamotzi mechavero alav haraya. Whoever wants to take the money out of someone else's hands has to prove it. Now, she's leaving. She wants to take it with her. If she wants to take it with her, she has to prove. So the more obvious thing to say is that they belong to him. Okay, that's how some of the mafreshim understand this. In other words, that without doing anything, we just leave it in his hands. Right now it's in his property, so it stays in his property and he just gives her the money. And she doesn't have rights to say, I want this object myself, I want to take it with me, because if I'm a simi chavera lavaraya, that's why some people say he thinks it's more obvious if there's a right to support Rabbi Ami, and if I'm a simi chavera lavaraya supports Rabbi Ami, then how can you say otherwise? So he says, here's his answer. Even though you're right, there's a braita that supports him. I think that the Shevach Beit Aviyah is much more, much stronger. Okay, the fact that these, yes, it's true, it's in his hands, but she brought it in and it's there as her family property. So even though, right, she should get to take it with her, it doesn't make any sense to say otherwise. So even though he says, you're right, there's a bride to support, doesn't bother me. Okay, and you're right, but this is her stuff, and therefore she gets to take it. Hayi itita, here's a case now that's going to a little bit seem otherwise. Hayi itita, there was a woman, da'aile le lagavre itzela demilta, b'ktubata. She gave him, she put in her ktubah, this big cloak that was made of melat, which is this, it's a very expensive kind of wool. We saw it in Shabbat. Okay, I remember we had this case of, maybe they were karim made up of, I don't remember the context. They were like pillows made up of this. I don't remember when what context came up. Anyway, she has this cloak, okay, that she brings in, nechseit zon barzel. Shachiv, when he died, Shakluha Yatme Upersua Amitna. The kids came, the Yitomim, and they covered him with this cloak. Okay? Now, there's this halacha that once you give something to a mate, you use it for the mate, okay, it now is asur bahana. Okay, this is isur hana. No one can get benefit from it. Now, they took her nichsei tzon barzel, and they used it for the mate. So, amarava kanya mitna. The dead person bought it. Now, obviously, a dead person can't have a kinyan. It doesn't mean a real kinyan, but it means that it now belongs to the dead person, and it's asur bahana. So, amarle nanai berei derav Yosef, berei derava, lerav kahana. Okay? The Ha'amar Rava, so he says, right, this is the grandson of Rava, says to Rav Kahana, V'ha'amar Rava, Amar Rav Nachman, Halacha K'Rav Yehuda, didn't they say Hadin Ima? So how did these Yitomim, how were they able to take the Nifsei Tzon Barzel that don't belong to them and cover him with it and therefore make them Asher Bahana? So Amar Le, Mila Mota Rav Yehuda, Demachusar Guvayna, Kevan Demachusar Guvayna, Birish Shute Kai. While it's true that they officially belong to her, they don't really belong to her right now. Why? They're lacking guvaina. What's guvaina? She has to take it. In other words, right now, they're sitting in his property. What does that mean? It's like you have a shiabud, like a lien on the property. Okay? It's like a typical case of shibud. Shibud is, right, I lend you money, and I say, if I don't give it back, you can take my house. Okay? Now, my house is still my property right now. And if I were to sell it, okay, depending on the situation, now we'll see, that it could be that if I sell it, you still have rights to take the house from whoever I sold it to. Because whoever I sold it to should know that I have a lien on the property, right? So when they buy it, they know that. But in certain cases, certain things remove the shiabud. Okay, we're going to see right now, we learned this already. So since she hasn't collected it yet, it's still in his property, he can do something with it that might basically remove her shibud on it. So what is that? Rava l'tame. And then Rava is consistent. Because even though he holds like Rav Yehuda, okay, yet this case, the property isn't in her hands right now. And therefore, when they took this object and they used it, they basically were allowed to do that. And at this point now, it becomes asur to her. Da'am Rava, hektesh, chametz, v'shichur, mafki'im midei shiabud. What did we learn? We learned this recently. If you have something that you say, I'll give you this if I don't return my, you know, if I don't give you back what I owe you, you can take this. But then I give it to Hekdesh, I give it to the Beit HaMikdash. That removes the shibud. Okay, there's certain things that remove the shibud. Chametz, if I say this food will be yours, and then, right, you don't collect it yet, and then it becomes Pesach, and it was chametz, and then it becomes chametz shavar alava Pesach. Again, it's asur bahana. If something that creates, what the basic thing is, anything that creates an isur hana'a removes the shibud. So hektesh creates an isur hana'a, chametz is an isur hana'a, and shichur. Okay, this isn't exactly an isur hana'a, but basically once you're meshachrer, your eved, and if you had your eved, you know, you said, if I don't pay you back, you can take my eved. And then I free the slave, so the shibud comes off of him, okay? He's free from anything. So now, the same thing with our case. If you use it for a mate, it now becomes asur bahana. So since it becomes asur bahana, you basically removed her shibud for it. So that would be a unique case where we would say that she doesn't have rights to it anymore, but that's because her shibud was removed, okay? And that's because it's only a shibud. It doesn't mean it belongs to her right now. Physically, it's not hers while she's married. Amar of Yehuda. Hichnisu lo shnei kelim be'elef zuz. Vishibchu va'amdu al shnei alafim. Here's a case where they put two different kelim, okay? Let's say two vases go as part of the nichsei tzon barzel. And now instead of being worth 1,000 shekel, they're now worth 2,000 shekel, okay? So now, what do we do with this? So echad, remember, she only gets 1,000 shekels worth. So what does he say? Echad no talto b'ktubata, v'echad no tenet amim v'no talto mipnei shevach beit avia. Does she get to take both of them, right? So now, let's say she wants both of them, but you might say, but it's only worth 1,000 shekel. So now, what is he saying? She can actually take both those kelim, and she just returns him 1,000 shekel in cash. Okay? And it's still, she can take the first one because of the value of what she's owed, and the second one she could take because of Shevach Beit Aviha. So now, the obvious question is, my kamashpalan. Shevach Beit Aviya. Oh, sorry. My Kamashma. In other words, you already taught us, Rav Yehuda, that she could take her property. So why do you need to bring us this case where there's two vases and they're both worth now, they doubled in value, they're both worth double what they were then. Why do you need to tell us this? We know already she could take her objects back. But now they're saying no. Shevach Beit Aviya didahave. Wait, my sorry. It reads like this. My Kamashman, Shevach Beit Aviya didehave, ha'amara Rav Yehuda chadasimna. He already told us this. If you want to tell us that because it's Shevach Beit Aviya, she gets to take it, well, you already told us that. You don't need to give us this case to tell us, you know, that doesn't tell us anything new. So the answer is, ma'u detei mahani mi lehecha dematia lemishka b'ktubata, ava mitein dami u'mishka lo, Kamashman. You might have thought that when she comes to... 1 second, of a metal dame umishkalo. 1 second, I think I know what this means, but I don't see it in the words. Just give me a second. Okay, so you might have thought it's only right. Oh, okay, that's what it means. Hecha dimati lemishka b'ktubata. You might have thought it only applies when she wants to take her property back, right? In other words, the value of her property. She wants to get the 1,000 shekel back, right? So what does she do? She takes the object, right? If she needs to get a 1,000 shekel, right, then she takes the vase, right? But in this case, it would only be one vase. Ava meitan dami umishka. What happens in this case? As soon as she takes one vase, okay, here's two vases. One is worth 1,000, one is worth 1,000. As soon as she takes one vase, she's already taken the whole value of what she's owed. Yeah. So now she's not owed anything anymore. So if, or it's a regular case, let's say it's worth 1,200, okay? So now she takes her vase, even though it's worth more money, she can still take her actual vase and she'll just pay the husband the extra 200 shekel. But in this case, once she takes one vase, she's finished. Yeah. She's not owed anything. So you might have thought, meitan dame umishka, just to give, if she gives a check to her husband for 1,000 shekel and to take the second vase, that's just like a, she's not taking any money that she's owed anymore. So you might have thought that in that case, it wouldn't be allowed for her to take this object out. Okay? And therefore, kamashmalan, then you can.
She takes it home and it's increased value.
No, that's the nechse maluk. The Nichsei Tzom Barzel are the ones that Barzel, it stays exactly as it was. She gets just the 1,000 shekel.
I think they're also trying to, in this argument, they're trying to show that just because it was from her father's house,
right,
doesn't mean that she's entitled to the second. I think also.
No, it's the opposite. It's because it's your force. Because it's Shevach Beit Aviya, even though she already collected all her money that she's owed by one vase, and now basically she has no esek with her husband anymore, she still could come and say, I want to take that vase with me because that was my father's, and then she just gives him the money. She can do a deal here. She can, right, she can claim, she still has a claim on it, even though she has no monetary claim.
That's the point. He doesn't have to give it to her.
No, he does. That's what they're saying. According to Rav Yehuda, yes. Not according to Rabbi Ami. She has to pay him. In other words, it's not a financial.
It's what you would call right of first refusal. I mean, she gets it if she wants it before he can do anything else.
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
Yes.
That's according to Rabbi Yehuda.
Yes, just according to Rabbi Yehuda, not according to Rabbi Ami, who says Adini Mo. He gets to keep the object, and she can only get the money. Okay? So this is a chiddush, this case, because this isn't a case that he already taught before, because the case he already taught before was when she's demanding the object, so here she can demand, when she wants her money, so she can take the object over the money. Okay, in this case, she has nothing to claim anymore, but yet she could still claim. Okay. Mishnah. Bat Yisrael shenisait lekohen umet v'hinicha me'uberet. Now we're going to have a whole different thing here. Now we want to know about truma. We're back to the issue of truma. A regular Yisrael woman marries a kohen. Now he dies. He leaves her pregnant. Okay? Now, the assumption is she has other kids. So now normally what do we say? If she has other kids, she can keep eating truma. Okay? And therefore her avadim also can keep eating truma. But now she's pregnant. So what do they say? Lo yochlu avadeha b'truma. Now, who does the eved belong to at this point? The yorshim, right? In other words, they belong, right? They're her avadim, but really, now we're talking about nichsei tzom barzel and nichsei malug, I think.
Just
tzom barzel. You're right. It's just the tzom barzel. Right. The ones that belong to her go with her. So she can eat truma, no problem. The nichsei tzom barzel belong to the, right, we always said, the nechse tzom barzel go with the husband when it comes to the truma. So now, what's the issue? The eved is owned by who? Yes. By all. So it's owned together, right? A joint effort of the Yorshim, all the sons he has, plus this eved, this ubar. Okay. Now, what's the issue? So lo yachlu avadeh v'truma p'pnei shelchelko shel ubar shahubar posel ve'eino ma'achil devrei Rabbi Yossi. In other words, an ubar doesn't have rights. An ubar is, since he's not alive, he can't give. He's not allowed to be ma'achil truma to anybody. Okay, since he's not yet in this world. Okay, so now what does it mean, ubar posel ve'eino ma'achil? There's a few different options. Tosfot disagrees with Rashi. I'm just going to go with Rashi for the sake of simplicity. Rashi explains here that this is two opposite cases. Ubar posel means that, you can look at Rashi, if it's a bat kohen, in bat kohen niseit liyisrael, okay, a bat kohen marries a yisrael and leaves her pregnant and she has no other kids, okay? So a bat kohen now wants to go back to her father's house, right? But because she's pregnant, it's poslami lashuv lebeit avia. She can't yet go back to her father. Okay, we're going to see this in the Gemara. If we get there to the very end of the daf, we'll see this inside. Otherwise, we'll see it tomorrow. It says, kinu ureha. She goes back to Beit Aviyah, kinu ureha. Kinu ureha means not pregnant, right? If you're not kinu ureha if you're pregnant. So now, that's ubar posel. Ubar posel means the ubar prevents her from going back to her father's house. On the flip side, it's also eno ma'achil. What does that mean? That means that if a Bat Yisrael is married to a Kohen and she's pregnant and she doesn't have any kids, right, then the Ubar can't allow her to be Ma'achil, okay, to be Ma'achil her. Now, if he can't allow her to be Ma'achil her, then if he's a part owner, right, if there's sons, you might think, oh, there's other sons. So other sons can basically say the Eved belongs to them, and therefore if the Eved belongs to them, right, let's maybe put this on the board, okay, we have a woman, okay, she's got a fetus, okay, she's pregnant. So now the eved belongs to her sons, okay, and the ubar, okay. Now this ubar is eno ma'achil. He doesn't have the koch to be ma'achil b'truma. So even though the other brothers can, this ubar can't because he's a part owner of the eved. That's Rabbi Yossi's opinion.
Which
okay.
In practice doesn't matter because since the brothers can, the Avadim can. The
Avadim can't eat now.
Because the others?
Yeah, because the Ubar being there, since an Ubar is Posel, which isn't so relevant for our case at this point to Rashi's interpretation, he's Posel his mother, but he's also Eino Ma'achil. He can't allow his mother to eat if it were just the Ubar. Let's say there were no sons.
That's the question.
And therefore, even though now there are sons, so it's true, the mother can still eat Truma. Anyway, she's got other sons here. It's not just because of this Ubar. But this Ubar doesn't have the koach to be ma'achil anything it owns. And it owns, it's a part owner, at least according to this interpretation, of this Eved. Okay? So the Eved, let's say, is 3/4 belonging to them and 1/4 belonging to him. The quarter that's in him, this is like the Chatzi Ben Chorin and Chatzi, right? Chatzi Eved. He's like, you know, he's got a part of him that's like that. So the part that's owned by the son basically doesn't allow, by the Ubar doesn't allow.
Why is it different for the mother and for the Evadim?
Like if the because mother the mother has sons, she can eat base because she's not owned by the children. This is ownership. Who's got ownership of the Eved? So the mother's not owned by the children. It's just the fact that she has children allows her to be considered still part of this
the
family.
Mother, but doesn't allow this
it doesn't family. Allow something they own. Because the whole thing, the opposite opinion is going to say, in Ubar is lo zach, he doesn't have kochot to be... Right, exactly. So that's going to be the alternate opinion, which is that in Ubar can't acquire anything. So he has no kinyan on this Eved. But this opinion of Rabbi Yossi says he does. Because what does Rabbi Yossi say? He says, for the purposes of Truma, we see that an Ubar has power, right? In other words, an Ubar can prevent a woman from eating. If an Ubar can prevent a woman from eating, right, if let's say it's the only child and she's married to a Kohen, she's a Yisrael, she's pregnant, you might say, oh, well, I have potential to have a baby, but the baby right, doesn't allow her to eat Truma. So therefore, we say it also shouldn't allow the Eved. In other words, we see the Ubar has power when it comes to the Truma issue. Okay. Amru lo, me'achar she'he'adet halanu abat Yisrael le'kohen, af bat kohen le'kohen umet, v'hinicham uber lo yochlu avadeh b'truma, b'pnei shchoko shel ubar. If you're saying an ubar can mess things up, then a bat kohen who's married to a kohen, it should be the same. What happens with a bat kohen who's married to a kohen? She continues to eat truma because she goes back to her father's house. But here, she can't eat truma because of the because she can't go back to her father's house because she's pregnant, and she can't eat truma here, right? In other words, her eved shouldn't be allowed to eat truma here because of the ubar. So also, what you're saying should apply to both cases. Now, from our mission, it's not clear whether Rabbi Yossi agrees or disagrees. It could be Rabbi Yossi agrees. We don't know. We're going to see in the Braita that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with this. But anyway, from here, it's not so clear. Ibayalahu. Now we want to know what's the reason for Rabbi Yossi. Tama de Rabbi Yossi mishum de kasavar ubarba me'ezara zarhu. O dilma yilod ma'achil she'enu yilod eno ma'achil. What's his reason? Is it because we say that an ubar who's in a me'ezara, in other words, if he's in a bat Yisrael, then he's considered... Right, the fact that she came from a Kohen, right, and he came from a Kohen, while he's in her womb, since she's a Zara right now, because her husband's dead, right, then that makes her, right, that makes him like her. Or do we say, Yilo ma'achil, v'she'enu yilod, eno ma'achil? Or do we say it's only once the child's born that he's allowed to be ma'achil, but an ubar doesn't, like the way we explained before, it doesn't have the power to give birth, to eat, to let people eat truma. So now, what's the obvious nafkamina? Lamai nafkamina, l'ubar b'me'e kohenet. If it's an ubar in the womb of a kohenet, a bat kohen, right, which is what Chachamim disagree with in the Mishnah, right, then you would say, if you'd say, ubar b'me'e zara zarhu, well, he's not b'me'e zara, he's in a bat kohen. So he should be allowed to, allow the avadim to do it. But if you say, no, any ubar doesn't have the koach to be ma'achil, the avadim, then it would be whether it's a bat kohen or whether it's a yisrael. Okay? So Rabba says this is it. Hainu tamad Rabbi Yossi tekasavar ubar b'me'ezara zarhu. Okay? He really says it because he says the ubar goes by the mother. And if that's the case, right, it only applies to a bat yisrael case and not a bat kohen case. And then we would say that Rabbi Yossi disagrees with the people who just argue with him. In other words, he really thinks that a bat kohen's ubar would allow the avadim to continue to eat truma, because either way, right, they're kohanim. Rabbi Yosef amar yilob ma'achil she'en yilod lo ma'achil. Okay, but Rabbi Yosef says, no, it's the other option. Okay, Rabbi Yosef disagrees and says it's because an ubar doesn't ever have the power to be ma'achil, whether it's in a bat kohen, whether it's in Yisrael. And he says that's what he thinks Rabbi Yosef says, which means that Rabbi Yosef wouldn't disagree with the people who argue with him in the Mishnah. Meitive. Now we're going to bring a koshi on Rav Yosef. Amrulo, here's a braita. Amrulo the Rabbi Yosef, me'achar shehi adita lanu abba Yisrael lekohen, ba kohen lekohen mahu. So you already told us about abba Yisrael, but what's the case with abba kohen? What would be the situation? Amar lahem, zu shamati, v'zu lo shamati. Shamati means I learned it, okay, from my rabbis. Meaning, the case that I brought up about the abba Yisrael, I learned from my rabbis. But this one I never heard of. Meaning, okay, what's the obvious? Okay, well, we'll read in the Gemara. I amar bishlamau bar b'me'ezara zarhu hainu deka'amar le'zu shamati v'zu lo shamati. In other words, if the reason is that it's bar b'me'ezara, then he's saying, this is what I learned. Makes sense with the logic, right? There was bar b'me'ezara. But about the bat kohen, I never learned about that case, meaning that I don't think that it's a problem. I think the avadim can continue to eat. Ela I amart yilud ma'achil, she'enu yilud e ma'achil, right? Mai zu shamati v'zu lo shamati, iuhi, right? That's the exact case then. If you say yilud ma'achil, yilud e ma'achil, then there's absolutely no reason to distinguish between these two cases. And he shouldn't have said, oh, I learned about that one, but I didn't learn about that one. If that was his logic, it would apply in all the cases, and therefore it doesn't make any sense he would say that. And the Gemara ends with kasha. It's difficult, okay? So Rav Yosef Shita is difficult. So the whole question is halacha lemaase. What do we do if it's a bat kohen with a ubar? Can the avadim eat or not? So kasha often is not like tiyuvta. We've seen this before. Tiyuvta means this is really difficult, and usually we reject that shita. Kasha means they didn't come up with an answer right now, but there probably is some answer out there. But the Shulchan Aruch paskins based on this, if I remember correctly from what I read, the Shulchan Aruch says because this shita is difficult, we don't paskin this way, and basically we allow. Right, we don't allow the bat kohen to be ma'achil the kid truma.
Right, they make it the status is that the ubar can't ma'achil.
Right, the ubar generally can't be ma'achil. Okay, and that's the shita here, whether it's a bat kohen or a bat Yisrael. Okay, I'm Rav Yehuda, I'm Shmuel, zo divrei Rabbi Yossi. Okay, here comes Rav Yehuda in the name of Shmuel. Okay, he says, this is what Rabbi Yossi said, what we've been learning. Aval, Chachamim Omrim, Chachamim disagree with him. And what do they say? Okay, and this is what Naomi was saying before, okay, that the Ubar doesn't have Zchuyot of a Kinyan. He can't do Zechia. He can't be Zochet anything. He's not even in the world yet. So what do Chachamim say? Yesh lo banim, if they have other kids, ten ochli mishum banim. In other words, we erase the three quarters, one quarter. We say, it's all the banim. We don't even look at the ubar. Ein lo banim, ochli mishum achim. What's the issue? The avadim, who do they belong to now? The brother of the deceased. Okay? Ein lo achim, ochli mishum mishpacha. It goes to his broader family. No matter what, these avadim are going to be part of a Kohen family. Okay? Ochli mishum mishpacha kula. Okay, so now, what about Shmuel? Shmuel says this, okay, then you say it in the name of Shmuel. The Rabbi Yossi says this, but Chachamim disagree. What do you think that means? What does he hold like? He must hold like Chachamim, right? So now they're going to say, Zu velo sfirale, right? This is what the assumption is, that when Shmuel said, this is Dibre Rabbi Yossi, but I don't agree with him, right? Because he says, but the Chachamim disagree. But if you say that, Ha'amar le Shmuel or Rav Chana Bagdata, Puk aite li be asara, De'emale ba'anpayu ha'mizakelu ubar kana. Okay, he says, go show me 10 people that are going to say that ha'mizakelu ubar kana. One second. Right, this is what he says. He says, puk aite libe'asara, go say it in front of 10 people. I want you to make a statement and say in front of 10 people that I said to you ha'mizakelu ubar kana. I hold that Ubar is Kone. Okay? Then Ubar can have a Kinyan, in which case, what does it show? He agrees with Rabbi Yossi against Chachamim. So how could he have said, this is what Rabbi Yossi says, but Chachamim disagree, which seems to imply that I agree with Chachamim, when he himself said, go and publicize in Birabim, right? Make it very known that I think that in Ubar, Hamizakeli Ubar Kana. If you give a gift, let's say you give a gift to a baby, okay? And you say, I want this money to go to the baby before the baby's even born. Does that baby have ownership over the money? Yes, he does. Okay? According to him. That's what he says. So therefore, what do you see here? The fact that the Eved, right? The fact that the Ubar is a part owner of the Eved. He does have ownership when he's just a fetus. So how could it be? So Ela Zeu Sfirale. It must mean, this is what Rabbi Yossi says and I agree with him. But just know the Chachamim disagree. So then, they're saying, my kamashman, the pligi rabbanan, my kamashman, so then what's he teaching us? He's just telling you, you should know, the pligi rabbanan aleid Rabbi Yossi. Just as a fact, okay? I agree with Rabbi Yossi, but no, the Chachamim disagree. Then they say, umi pligi, do they really argue Chachamim? Mativ Rabbi, Zakai, no, Mativ Rabbi Zakai, zo edu te'i Rabbi Yossi mipi shmaya va'av talyon, vehodulo. Okay, so now we see that Rabbi Zakai said, this Eidut Rabbi Yossi said in the name of Shmaya and Avtalion, and Chachamim agreed with him, okay? Hodulo. Hodulo always means, right, they admitted in the end that he was right. So here you see, they don't even argue. So Amar Rav Ashi, miktani vikiblu, v'hodulo ktani. It doesn't say, and they accepted his opinion. It said, they agreed with him, okay? So what does he say, right? He means, demistaber ta'ane. He means that, what did they say? It sounds logical what you're saying. However, we're not going to paskin like you, okay? In other words, and the Ritva explains here that what is it that really they had a Masoret that said otherwise. So they said, it sounds logical what you're saying, but that's not what we learned from our rabbis, so we're going to do what our rabbis said, okay? So Hodula means they agreed that he had some logic to him and it sounded right, but they weren't willing to go with him. So in the end, what do we see? They disagree with him, but Shmuel paskin like Rabbi Yossi. Tana Rabbanan. Now we're going to have a case. So we have a Kohen who marries a Bat Yisrael, and he dies. Hiniach banim, okay, if he still has children, okay, this is without her pregnant. He just has children, then what happens? Elu ve'elu achlim, right? Both the Nechsei Melug and the Nechsei Tzom Barzel eat the Truma. Okay, that's basic. Hinicham me'uberet, what if he leaves her pregnant without any children? Okay, this is a case where just she's pregnant. Elu ve'elu ein achlim, right? Nobody eats. Because she can't eat, remember? Just because she's Mu'ber, it doesn't allow her to eat, because she doesn't have any kids yet. So therefore, she can't eat Truma, so her Nechsei Melug can't eat Truma. And her Avadim, her Nechsei Tzom Barzel, also can't eat Truma, because there's no... right, because she's basically... They're hers, I guess. Right, she's in limbo. So
and
they can't eat.
Whether she's a bat Yisrael or a bat Kohen so far.
No, it could be because she's a bat Kohen. Right, because if she's Mu'uberet, she can't. The first case, if she's a bat Kohen, they'd be able to eat. The second case, if she was Mu'uberet, she wouldn't be able to eat in her father's house. And then presumably the Avadim wouldn't either. Okay, but it doesn't talk about that right now. Hiniach banim vihinicha Mu'uberet. That's our case in the Mishnah, right? Okay, she has other kids and she's pregnant. Avdei malug ochlim kederach shehi ochelet. Right, they go with her, they eat like we've said. And avdei tzom barzel lo yochlum mipnei chalko shel ubar shubar posel ve'enom achil dever biyosi. That's basically our Mishnah, right? That third case. Okay, this is just bringing other cases. Now we get to our case. Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi Omer mishum aviv. Okay, Rabbi Yishmael b'Rabbi Yosi says in the name of his father. Okay, this is gonna be tricky. What he says and what he means. And Rabbi Yosi was his father, so now he's saying something different in the name of his father. The same thing in the name of his father. It's unclear. We're gonna only figure this out at the end. We're gonna basically gloss over this right now because it's not clear what he says. But I'll just read it. Habat ma'achelet haben eino ma'achil, which seems to imply if he has girls, then the avadim can eat, and if he has boys, then the avadim can't eat. Okay, we're gonna see what this is later. Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai omer, zecharim yochelu. Kulan nekevo lo yochelu. Shema yimtza ubar zachar ve'ein lebanot b'mkom haben klum. Okay, what does this mean? We're going to see this also much more inside, but I'll give you basic. Zecharim, if he has sons, then, and in ubar, then what are we going to say? At least the basic, we'll see there's two different explanations. I'll go with the basic one, the one that's accepted ultimately, which is, what's the issue here? This can either be a boy or a girl. If it's a girl, then it has no issue with the Yerusha. He's not going to be Yorish. So if he has sons, and then this Ubar is here, this Ubar has no relevance here because 50-50 chance it's going to be a boy. Within that 50-50 chance, it's possible the baby's not going to make it. Okay, remember we've seen this, that there was concern that the babies weren't going to make it. So now it's a mi'ut. The fact that it might be a boy that will survive is now a mi'ut. It's a minority, right? It's less than 50% chance. And therefore, lo choshishim lemi'uta. This goes back to what we learned before. If you marry someone who's a ketana, are you allowed to? Are you supposed to worry maybe she'll be an ilonit? Okay? So here, maybe it's a different percentage of how many women are iloniot versus how, right? Here, the chances of it being a boy is a higher percentage, but still it's less than 50%. So we don't, we kind of pretend as if it's not there. Okay? That's what he says. But kulan nekevot, what if they're all girls? Then, if this could potentially be a boy, then what? He'll be the yoresh. Okay? So, shema yimtza ubar zachar, ve'ein labanot b'mkom haben klum, and then these girls are totally irrelevant because they have no yerusha. As soon as there's a boy, they have no rights to anything. Okay, so now, the Gemara asks a question on this. We're going like backwards. Okay, we're starting from the end and then going back earlier. So we're starting with Rosh Shum Bar Yochai. My area shemim tsau bar zahar tipukle de nekevan ami psala. Why are you saying that maybe the ubar will be zahar? If the ubar is a nekeva, it would also be pasul. Why? Because then she wouldn't have any benim zcharim, right? So then, one second. If they're all nekevot, then what happens? Yesh lubar chelik behen. Ah, right. If they're all nekevot, then the nekevot are yorshot, and then the ubar is part of the yerusha, just like our case before, in which case we would say the ubar is post, right, eino ma'achil. So either it's a boy, in this case, would be either it's a boy, in which case the boy gets all the yerusha and the ubar can't be ma'achil, or it's a girl, and then it just goes along with the other girls, and it's this quarter percentage that we saw before, right? A quarter, three quarters, let's say. And therefore, that one quarter is going to mess everything up. So either which way. So now the Gemara says, you're right. Chada ve'og ka'amar. It's really a combination of both. Chada de nechevan ami pasla. Ve'od shema yimtza ubar zachar. Ve'en lebanot b'mkoma ben klum. Okay, I just want to point out one thing about this chada ve'od. Chada ve'od is generally used as saying, you're right, we have two different possible answers. This is not the case here. This isn't the case of we have two different possible answers. It's the combination of both that makes it a problem. Because if you just had, I don't know if you were thinking about this, but if you just had, maybe it'll be a boy, we already said, en choshishin lemiuta. It's only a small percentage, right? So in the end, what do they say? It's more like a mimanafshach. Either way you look at it, either it'll be a boy and it'll be a problem, Or it'll be a girl, and it'll be a problem. Because either way, this ubar is going to be part of the yorshim.
Yeah.
He's going to inherit, and or she's going to inherit. And therefore, it's going to be a problem no matter what. So this chadav ha'od isn't really the right used in the right way it's normally used. Okay. Scharim yochelu. Now we're going to go back to this scharim. If it's brothers, then they can eat. Why? Because we're not choshesh lemi'ut, right? So they say, what do you mean? V'ha'ika ubar. But there is an ubar, and the ubar is part of the yerusha, right? So now they say, kasavar, now they're going to explain it, en choshishin lemiuta. We don't worry about a minority. V'ibayit ema, and here's a second option. La'olam kasavar choshishin lemiuta. Maybe we are worried about miuta. But, davdina le'takanta kirav nachman amar shmuel. Da'am rav nachman amar shmuel. Okay, what does he say? Okay, well, let's learn this case and then we'll explain. Yitomim shabao lachlok b'nechse avihem. What happens if there's yitomim? Okay, there's children who are supposed to get yerusha. Now, children can't gain rights to anything. They can't choose. They're not b'nei dat. Beitim amidim lahem apitropus, uborir lahem chelek yafeh. Each kid gets a beitin appointee, okay, who basically is going to choose for each of them a good portion, okay? So what's the problem? You say like, oh, there's the older kid, he's going to take the bigger portion, right? The younger kid, never. So what do? They give apitropusim to all of them, and then each one is concerned for his client, basically, okay? Now, this part is not going to be relevant to our issue, but I'll tell you anyway. We'll learn it because it's here. Higdilu yicholim limchot. When they get to an age where they're older, if they say, "Oh, I don't want this portion," they can say, "I don't want this," and they can try to like switch around. Rav Nachman didei amar. This is Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel, but he himself said, "No, I disagree with that aspect." Higdilu en yicholim limchot. Dimke makoch beitin yafeh. This is a great line. Makoch beitin yafeh. Right? If we give beitin the koch to say, we're going to make apitropsin, and they're going to choose, then basically if we say, oh, well, later you can change around, well, that undermines the power of the beitin. So basically, he says, no, whatever you got, you got. That's why you had an apitropos. He was in charge to pick you a good portion. And whatever you got, you got, and you can't start changing around. Okay, so now, what does this have to do with anything? What happens if beitin make apitropsin? So now we have these four yorshim. We have three sons, one, two, and three, and then we have the ubaros, number four. Now, presumably, we're not just splitting up slaves. We're splitting up his whole estate. So now, what's the problem? In our situation, if we have sons and we have this ubar, what did we say? The ubar messes everything up, right? But now, we're stuck in this household is full of avadim, that are nechseitz on barzal of the mother. These avadim can't eat truma. Now, they're a little bit stuck because there's mostly truma in the house. So it's a bad situation to be in. So if we say the father dies, and we have this ubar here, right? So now, because obviously the father's dying once there's an ubar, otherwise, right, we wouldn't be talking about it. So the father dies while she's pregnant. The apitropsim are going to be very smart. What are they going to do? That's why he said, avdina lehu takanta. We make a takana. In other words, what do? We basically say, apitropos of this kid, this one is going to take avadim. The apitropos of this one, right, they're going to split up the avadim, the nifsei tzom barzel, between all three sons, and they're going to leave this fourth kid, the ubar, with a portion that doesn't include avadim. Okay? Let's say there's land and avadim, so they'll get part of the land of the avadim, and he'll get just land. Okay? And then the avadim, the whole time she's pregnant, will be able to eat, and they won't have a problem. Okay? So they're saying, it's not that we're in choshin lemiuta. You could say, we do a takana, like Rav Nachman said.
And then what happens when he's born and he grows up?
Ah, so then again, it depends. If you hold like Rav Nachman, if you hold like Rav Nachman, then they can't change, and it's tough luck. This kid ended up with what he got. He just didn't get slaves, whether you care or not,
and
I don't know.
He got something that was equal.
He got, exactly, yeah. They split it up equally. It's just a matter of, right, it's always an issue of, they're going to split it up equally, it's just you might get better land for something, or you might get worse land, but worth like more worse land, or less good land.
And this makes more
that's
sense.
The issue.
Why wouldn't you do this?
Right, exactly. So that's what they're saying. Right, but if you hold like Shmuel, then basically you'd be able to change your mind anyway later. So all the more so. So now they say, Lamer to Rav Nachman Tanaihi, are we going to say that this is a machloket Tanaim, that Rav Nachman saying is what the machloket is based on here? That Rabbi Yossi holds you can't do a takana, and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says you can do a takana, and is that what they're arguing about? So they say no. Lo. De kule ama ilu to Rav Nachman. Everyone agrees with Rav Nachman that you can do this takana. Okay, now you have to say this. Everyone agrees that you can do a takana, but In this case, they didn't, okay? It's a case where they weren't smart enough to basically figure this out, and they gave this kid some of the avadim. That's what you'd have to say. And then the question is, choshoshin lemiuta or not, okay? V'hachab choshoshin lemiuta kamei pilgei Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi omer mishum aviv hamet, ma'achil mishum... Second? Omer, sorry. Rabbi Shmuel b'Rabbi Yossi omer mishum aviv. He says in the name of his father, Rabbi Yossi, that habat... Oh, sorry. Okay. I'm jumping. Period. This is the end. So basically, I thought they were going to explain it, but they don't. So basically, what does it mean? It means that we gave two possible explanations to why Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says this. One was because he says en choshishin lemiuta, whereas Rabbi Yossi says choshishin lemiuta, and that's their machloket, and that's the one we're agreeing in the end is the machloket. The second option we gave we're rejecting, which is that maybe the issue is that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai says you can do this takana, and that's why they can eat. And then you'd have to say, though, that Rabbi Yossi doesn't think you could do the takana, but they don't really like that, because they say, ma pit'om, we're going to say that this thing that Rav Nachman said in the name of Shmuel is a machloket tana'im. Nobody ever heard of that, so we're going to reject that option. Okay, now we're going to go to Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, omer mishum aviv, okay, in the name of his father, habat ma'achil, remember, that's Rabbi Yossi, his father, okay? Habat ma'achil, haben eino ma'achil. So what does that mean? Ma'ishna ben delo ma'achil, Mishum chalko shel ubar, right? Why do we say a ben is lo ma'achil? Because we said, because chalko shel ubar, because he has a quarter of the rights to the property. Bat nami lo ta'achil mipnei chalko shel ubar. If there's a daughter, then you should say the same thing. Also, the ubar should prevent, just like we said before. If they're daughters, then he ends up, right? If these are daughters, then what do we say? The ubar also can't be ma'achil because... The daughters inherit and not the son, right? So if there's daughters, then the daughter inherits, and therefore the ubar is also going to inherit with the daughter, either with or instead of, if it ends up being a son. So now, so they want to understand, what are you talking about? So Amar Abaye, hacha benechasim muatin askinan. It's not a typical case. It's a case where there was very little money left in the estate. Why is that relevant? When there's very little money in the estate, what do we say? All the money... goes, the Yitomim don't get any Yerusha. The money goes, very interesting, to feed the girls. Okay? The boys have to fend for themselves. Okay? The boys, you know, can be like, go get stuck if they want. There's not a lot of money. They leave it to take care of the girls. The assumption is the girls need taken care of, and the boys can go on their own and figure their own thing out. So here he says it's nechasim watim. So now what? Upigon di'ika ben bahade bat. It's talking about when there's a son and a daughter. Okay, that's the case of the girl. When it says there's a bat, it means there's a bat and a ben, and then when a chasim muatim, and therefore this son, right, this ubar will not inherit, right, because the girl needs to get supported. So basically, this ubar can't mess anybody up because he doesn't own the eved. Okay, either he's going to be a bat and then he'll get food, or he's going to be a ben and then he doesn't get the yerusha anyway. So then they say manafshach. If the thing is a ben, right? It's going to work. If the ubar is a ben, he's no better than the ben that's there who's not getting anything, right? He's not going to get Yerusha. And ibati amayachla. And if it's a daughter, then she's not getting any food, right? She's not getting Yerusha. One second. Amayachla. Okay, so now they're going to say one second. So if she's a girl, right, and then she'll have chelik b'nechasim. Okay? Right. This is the issue. Why does she get to eat? She doesn't get to eat because she owns the property, right? She gets to eat, but takanta derabanan. Okay? If she's going to be a girl, what gives her rights to eat? Not that she owns this. The fact that the rabbis made a takana for the girls here. Okay? And therefore, kamadalona fakla avir ha'olam lo tkinu rabanan. The takana of rabanan was on live human beings, not on fetuses. Okay, so therefore we say that no matter what, this fetus doesn't mess anything up because the takanat rabbanan doesn't even have anything to do with the fetus. So this baby isn't, this ubar isn't eating anything right now, right? So therefore, this takanat doesn't apply. Okay, so now let's just go on a drop more and then we'll stop. Now we'll get to the Mishnah. So now they say, wait a minute. What did we just say? That this is all in the case of nechasim muatim, right? B'mayu kimta b'nechasim muatim. But now it doesn't make any sense because Ema Seifa, when we look at the end of this, when we look at Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Was he talking about nechasim muatim? Where the girls inherit? No, he was dafka talking about when the boys inherit, right? Shema yimtzahu bar zachar ve'en lebanopim kom ben klum. Right? What did he say? The girls aren't going to get anything. Which means he was talking about nechasim merubim. So they say, adraba. Nechasim muatim debanot ninu. Right? If it was nechasim muatim, it should be the opposite. It should all go to the girls. And he said it all goes to the boys, right? So what did they answer? Seifa atan nechasim muatim. Seifa atan nechasim merubim. Sorry. The Seifa is Nechasim Rubim, and in other words, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi, we're talking about two different cases. Okay? So now they say, Nechasim Muatim Debanot Ninhu. If the Nechasim Muatim, they really go to the girls, V'ha'am Rabbi Asi, Am Rabbi Yochanan, Yitomim Shekadmu Machru B'Nechasim Muatim, Masha Machru Machru. What do they say? How can you say that the Nechasim Muatim go to the girls? Where do we see a case? That if the kids, if the Yitomim got up and they sold the property, before, okay, this is unclear. There's two different interpretations. If this is before they went to the Beit Din and the Beit Din said you have to give it to the girls, or maybe after they went to the Beit Din, but anyway, they just did it. Okay, let's assume it's the second case because it's easier to understand the rest of the Gemara that way. They just, against the Beit Din, went and sold these nechasim, whatever was left, masha machru machru, and the girls don't get the money that they gained in that sale because the girls only had rights to the property that was there. Once they sell it and get money for it, it's not the same thing anymore.
Earlier,
so what do you
saw,
see?
We saw sale that wasn't good if it wasn't done properly. Here it doesn't seem
to
matter.
Here it shows that the Yitomim actually do have rights to this property. Right. Okay? So then they say, okay, so therefore you can't say that that's the case. Because the Yitomim, even though they need to use it for the mizonot for the girls, they still have ownership over the property. So what does that show? That they still have ownership, and then we get into this whole ownership thing, in which case that's rejected. So Elamai bat katane, it's not a daughter, it's aim. If there's an aim, if there's a mother, what does that mean? Okay? If there's a mother, okay, one second, I have to remember this. My hachi kamar, look at Rashi. Ha'aim ma'achelet avdei melug shela, kederach shaita ochelet, v'ha'ben eino ma'achelet avdei tzombar, zelifnei chalko shel ubar. B'mtei chalko shel ubar. What does he basically say? That if it's, when we go back to Rabbi Shmuel Bar Rabbi Yossi, what did he say? Habat ma'achil habeni no ma'achil. That means the mother is ma'achil her avdei melug, and the sons are not ma'achil the avdei tzom barzel, which is basically what? That's basically Rabbi Yossi's opinion. That's what we learned before. That's how we started the Mishnah, with that. So now they say, well, ihachi hanu Rabbi Yossi, right? Then that's exactly the same as Rabbi Yossi, and this was listed in the Braita as three different opinions. So the end they're going to say, kula Rabbi Yishmael Rabbi Yossi katanale. Rabbi Yishmael, what did I say? He's the son of Rabbi Yossi. What happened? The Mishnah, the Braita brought Rabbi Yossi's opinion, and then it said that Rabbi Yishmael, the name of Rabbi Yossi, said this, meaning he said in his father's name that this is his father's Shita. So basically, the Braita is not listing three separate Shitot. It's saying Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yossi passed down in the name of his father's opinion. Okay, and then you have to wonder, well, why the Braita organized it that way. It's still a little problematic, but that's in the end what they say. And that resolves our issue. Why is Rabbi Shmuel saying in the name of Rabbi Yossi something different than Rabbi Yossi actually said? And now it makes sense because he's really just explaining what his father said.